you know, it's really quite remarkable. 47 years of profitability for Southwest Airlines. I mean, how many airlines have we lost over the last 47 years? And this year has been particularly challenging at Southwest. Labor problems, the 737 MAX grounded. Now the FAA's got a whistleblower that's looking into Hawaii. But the fact is, the earnings were better than expected. The stock rallied, and Gary Kelly is still around as CEO. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Yes, I am, and it's always great to be with you, David.
It's good to be with you. I think I would retitle you Job. This is there really have been a lot of challenges over the last year or so, but the profitability's been awfully good. Is it demand?
Yeah, it's, you know, demand is, you know, the economy's been solid, and demand has been very strong, and our people have done a great job. It's you know, and it's one of those years where there's a lot of wrinkles that had to be worked through, and you know, what's hard for our people is to work on a schedule, produce it, and then have to go back in and adjust. That is double and triple the work, and they're not staffed for that. And that's all of our planners here, and it's all of the people in the field that have to execute the schedule. So they've just done a phenomenal job. We run the best operation in years, and our customers are happy. And, you know, the only thing that we're not able to do right now is grow. So in that sense, we're not serving our customers as well as we aspire to, because we just don't have enough seats in every market. But except for that, we're doing a great job, and the earnings reflect that.
Well, you'd planned for years this major initiative into Hawaii, not only serving from the mainland, but inter-island traffic. And I know you couldn't put that on hold. So how's that going? You've had to take some capacity out of the lower 48, I guess, to make that work.
We have. We've trimmed mostly, if you just look at an entity, the international entity is the one that's seen the biggest percentage cut. And, of course, it's relatively small, so in that sense, it's not providing that much capacity to rotate over to Hawaii. But we consolidated Newark. So we closed that airport location and focused our New York service at New York LaGuardia. So we were able to harvest some airplanes that way. But otherwise, it's just been an effort to go around the country and trim. And most of the flights we've been trimming have been long haul. So at least when you think about an itinerary, we can still get you from point A to point C. It just may not be in some number of some small number of cases. It may not be on a nonstop basis. But, you know, and that's been some of the beauty and the genius of the way our planners have done it. They haven't done it in a way that has really ruined our service in markets. And so I'm just very, very proud of what they've done.
So the two major costs, the two major variables too, I guess, in your operations are labor and fuel. You went through a set of labor problems. Is that behind us now? Is that all settled?
Well, we're always negotiating contracts, but I mean, just referencing the mechanics, that, you know, the unscheduled aircraft downtime back in, you know, late February, early March was quick-lived and easily behind us. And, you know, there's still litigation pending on that illegal work stoppage, but we were able to strike a contract with the mechanics, and I think they're all very pleased with that. Should have been done earlier, but, you know, setting all that aside, that's all behind us.
And fuel, you know, crude oil is, it seems like it's capped right now, and we have a lot of supply. And maybe over the last few days, we've seen crude really pull back, tied to worries about China and the outbreak of the flu. And that's got to be something that falls right to your bottom line.
Oh, it is. It is. And, of course, you know, with fewer flights, that is the one cost that we do save or don't incur. We don't burn the fuel if we don't have the flight. But, yeah, on the pricing side of things, it's been very benign. And, We've got a good outlook for 2020 in terms of crude oil prices. We've got a great hedge in place if they act up for whatever reason. That's always hard to predict. But you look at the fundamentals, as I know you're speaking to, and it sort of says that we stay low for longer.
The numbers in your release were astounding. $828 million in reduction in operating income because of the parking of the 737 MAXs. Presumably, that's not going to go on forever, although Boeing now says it'll be, I guess, summertime before they come back on. Can you wait that long?
Well, you know, what choice does one have? So I think in terms of what we can do, without speaking to, you know, the efficacy of that date, what we can do is look at our retirement schedule and unretire some aircraft. We were already on a program to accelerate MAX deliveries and accelerate some of our 737-700 fleet retirements. And so we can slow those retirements down easily because they're great airplanes. There's not an issue there. They're just not as optimal as the MAX would be. So we've got that flexibility. And then we're always tuned in, David, to the used aircraft market. So that, you know, that's another source of us in the meantime. But you know, I don't understand why Boeing came out with that delay. That's a change for them, and all the work that we've been doing with Boeing, with the FAA, would suggest that the ungrounding could be much earlier than June. So we'll just have to see. In the end, we're not in control of any of that. We'll just make sure that we're ready to make the changes procedurally in our manuals and then train to those and then begin the physical work of ungrounding airplanes and hopefully get Boeing and the FAA back in the delivery mode as well.
All right, now let me take you back home at Love Field. We lost Oklahoma service. Obviously, you completely pulled out of New Jersey. Any plans for Love Field and any help on getting your gate back?
Oh, that litigation continues, and the judge continues to defer the trial date. So, we'll keep prosecuting that, and hopefully we can have access to all the assets that we have paid for and are continuing to pay for. So, yeah, that's definitely a frustration. In the meantime, though, our folks are doing a great job running a wonderful operation over there. We've got 200 daily departures, which is pretty darn good and puts Dallas, near the top, but well below what it could be, but still a very solid operation. We can't put all the flights in to all the places that we'd like where there is demand simply because there's just not enough capacity. So you do have that one drawback. But where we do serve, I'm happy with that. I think Oklahoma City was an example of where, you know, if you think about it as a physical slot during the day, we needed those three flights for other markets. And so we have to make some of those hard decisions. I think when you and I talked last, we were taking a lot of our departures, which were perhaps one flight a day, and rather than spreading ourselves so thin across a greater number of nonstop destinations, we've tried to focus more on putting a better schedule in to fewer nonstop destinations. And either way, we've got really good business. I think what we're simply trying to do is just optimize the customer experience. And I'll just take Nashville as an example. Great business in Nashville. We're the number one carrier there easily. And, you know, are we better off having two nonstops a day to Nashville to serve our customers or five or six? And that's the process that we've been pursuing. And not trying to be all things to all people because we can't, you know, we just don't have the gates to do it, but just trying to, at least where we do choose to have a nonstop, to have really good service in those markets.
And it was sort of the five or six a day that was the old Southwest Airlines mode anyway, so it sounds like you're back to that.
That's right.
Gary Kelly, CEO of Southwest Airlines, a company that has had a remarkable 47 years of profitability. Congratulations. I hope it's 48.
Thank you, David. So do we, and we'll make every effort to make that happen.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation with Mr. Kelly, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.